You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
When you think of the word courage, what comes to mind? Are there people, particular people you think about when you think about courage? Is it a particular job or task that requires courage? Can you think of a time when you might have had to show a little more courage than perhaps you thought you were capable? Sometimes when we put ourselves out there, so to speak, it requires a certain amount of courage. Maybe it was something like an audition or an interview where you were applying for a new job. Or perhaps you were meeting with the boss asking for a raise. Whatever the case, we seem to have this kind of visceral and emotional response to certain situations we encounter, and they have a great way of fostering our self-doubt and our insecurity. Perhaps it's when we are facing illness, whether it's life-threatening or chronic, and it raises our anxiety and we find it requires a fortitude we did not think we had. It seems safe to say that we have all experienced times in life when being more courageous was essential. Well, our Bible is full of stories of people who were asked continually to do things that stretched them, things that required courage. Sometimes it was because they were facing designated adversaries and they were fighting for their life. Other times the stories found people who were having to act out in ways that were outside of the norm, and it put them front and center, walking out of step with the crowd. Well, John the Baptist was certainly one of those people. Now, John, you may recall, was the son of Elizabeth and Zechariah, and his birth was a birth that had not been expected, and it was considered to be a miracle. And we also remember that John was a cousin of Jesus. Now, the image we have of John is probably what most of our religious art depicts and what Jerry, when reading the scripture, mentioned to us a little earlier. We view him as a wild man, and rightly so. The way he's described in the gospel suggests a person who could really care less about fitting in. We are told that he ate wild locusts and that honey and that he dressed in skins, and John was probably someone you would not be quick to invite over for dinner. Let's just put it that way. Early on, his ministry became very clear to him. He had a laser-like focus. He knew exactly where he stood. You see, the gospel writers referred to Isaiah's prophecy of long ago that there would be one who would be that voice that was going to be crying in the wilderness and who would work to make paths straight, preparing the way for the Lord, the Messiah. Well, John was that individual. In our Christian tradition, we see him as the one who was preparing the way of the Lord. John's interpretation of the role, as he considered what his role was, is that he knew he needed to prepare people for the coming of the Messiah. In fact, he was really focused on creating a more righteous people. That's what it meant to set the paths straight and to lift up the valleys and all of those things we remember from that prophecy. And eventually, this developed into his being known as the baptizer. People came to him for a baptism of repentance. You see, his understanding of baptism and what he was doing, it was that a person, this baptism, when the person came forward, it represented them setting aside their old life, setting aside their sin, and turning in an absolute different direction from where they had previously been. And there was an assumption that in this process that God was at work in them. It wasn't really clear or linear how that was happening, but the understanding is that God was at work in them. And this was John's ministry. And we know that there were many who followed John, who really were his students, his disciples, so to speak, and some thought that he might even be the Messiah. the hoped-for one. And this was a subject upon which John was very, very clear, according to the gospel writers. He was not the Messiah. He knew that. He said that. He was merely the messenger who would precede the Messiah, the hoped-for one. Now, Luke, in this passage today, we see that John was very clear. We know where he stood, the message that he preached. And he preached this message to absolutely everyone. It wasn't accidental, these different groups of people that were considered in this passage this morning. First of all, to those who had much, he said to them, it's your job to share. It's your job to share your clothing. It's your job to share your food. It's not always a real popular thing to say amongst the groups of people. Then to the tax collectors in particular, and we got to remember, folks, tax collectors were considered traitors by the Jews, because instead of working for Judah, they were working for the Roman Empire. And he told these tax collectors that they really needed to rethink the way they went about doing their job, that they were to take only what was required and no more. They were not to take advantage of people. And then he looked out to the soldiers, and you know, think about this. He's getting in the face of everyone in this process, and to the soldiers, he says to them, stop extorting money. Now, I'm not sure I could have said that with a spear pointing at me, but he apparently had no problem doing that. He said, stop extorting money. Don't use threats. Don't use false accusations to people. He was telling them that they needed to be about a different way of doing their job. You see, John knew where he stood, and he had courage. He had the courage of his convictions to make the kinds of statements he did, statements that were provocative, statements that were challenging, statements that could make a person's situation very tenuous. And we know ultimately that it was this zeal that found John at odds with King Herod, who finally had him imprisoned. John had a strong belief in God. John had a strong belief in the hope of the prophets, and that John knew and understood where he would stand, that he had a specific role. John was also clear that the Messiah would come, and the Messiah's coming would change everything. In his words to the people that we see in this passage, John said that he was not worthy to even untie the thong of the Messiah's sandals. That's just how important the appearance of the Christ would be to John, and he felt for everyone around him. And so that's the scenario we have in this story when Jesus appears. So Jesus, we know, presented himself for John's baptism of repentance. Jesus taking on a fully human form, doing a fully human act. And we know that this episode, this story, finishes with the Holy Spirit coming upon Jesus in the form of a dove, as the writer tells us, and that there was this voice that was announcing, this is my son. This is the beloved with whom I am very pleased. So there's a lot, when you think about it, that's packed into this passage this morning. We hear of John's ministry of repentance and baptism. We hear about Jesus responding to John's ministry, and we hear of God giving the stamp of approval by announcing at this point that Jesus is the beloved Son. So from the gospel writer Luke's perspective, John was about the business of looking for the Messiah, and he found him. He found him in the person of Jesus. And Jesus acknowledged this, and Jesus submitted to baptism. And God, basically, the way this passage ends, gives the seal of approval. You see, friends, both of these men, John and Jesus, were very clear where they stood, clear on what they had been called to be, and they did that very thing, even though it was going to make their lives challenging, even though it would eventually lead to both of their demise. Do you think we might call that courage? What do you think? They were able to be courageous, I believe, because they understood and believed exactly who they were called to be and where they were. I think it's a really profound question to ask ourselves in the beginning of any year. Where do I stand? Especially, where do I stand on the subject of Jesus? On some levels, it seems very obvious. But when we stop to think about it a little bit more, it really is a very complicated question. Our response to what we think about Jesus might be, well, I'm a Christian. And that's an appropriate response, for sure. That indeed is an identity. But when we dig a little further, we realize that there's perhaps a problem with that. The problem is that Christianity, if we're really honest, friends, in many expressions is much more of an institution than it is a life-changing movement. You see, in many places, faith has very little to do with Jesus or with his teaching. I know that sounds a little bit crazy, but think about it this way. In our world, it really is possible to be a Christian and reflect very little of Jesus' teaching. So what do I mean by that? Well, Jesus was pretty clear on whom he came to be in relationship with, and also what his expectations to be his follower included. To be his church, it seems, requires that all people are seen as precious children of God, all people are to be embraced, and all people are to be brought into the faith family. And so let's be real honest. Some places fully accept this, some places aspire to this, and there are other faith communities who ignore this instruction altogether. You see, one of the things that some of the baggage we still carry with us as Christians is we can be very quick to determine who is in, who is out, who should be judged, who shouldn't be judged. Perhaps another way to look at this is to ask the question, has my faith or has our faith together been created out of fear and insecurity, or is it deeply rooted in hope in Jesus? That is why I like to suggest that the community of faith might be better off identifying ourselves and itself as those who follow Jesus. That's our identity. Those who accept Jesus' teaching, as difficult as it can be. You see, friends, it takes courage to live into this radical nature of Jesus' teaching. And Jesus' teachings, friends, really is radical. Because while we might intellectually buy into this notion of loving God and loving neighbor, the practice of that really is much different, isn't it? This kind of behavior and belief may fly in the face of many faith communities, and it may be out of step with our culture. And it must be emphasized, following Jesus, loving Christ, being one of his followers and disciples, it's not identified with a particular political persuasion. Following Jesus, friends, frankly, in some respects, puts us at odds with any political system from the very get-go. It can put us at odds with cultural convention. Because, you see, it asks us to align ourselves with those who have no voice, with those who are the sojourners, with those who are poor, with those who are disenfranchised. You see, this is why I sometimes ponder that it's much easier to identify as a Christian than it is being a follower of Jesus. I guess this passage today spells out some real basics for us, which can be an incredible source of strength and of courage. God's unfolding story for us has been one that is always about forgiveness and redemption. And a promise was made that the one, the Messiah, would appear who would cement our relationship with God in a way that had never been previously experienced. Jesus was and is the one. He came into this world reminding us that real strength comes from our love of God and being in loving and redemptive relationships with the people around us. When we understand that, when we diligently strive to live that out, I believe that's where courage is to be found. Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.